It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. Here we are once again. It's a month of pride on the Coming Out Lounge. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and that guy that, well, I hope I've helped you make some simple moves in your life to be able to make the big bold moves. We try to simplify everything so that you can do that thing you're trying to do, no matter what that closet is you're coming out of. And as those of you who've been listening know, we're celebrating a whole month of pride by doing two interview shows a week right now. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to do something just slightly different. Well, maybe it could go really different depending on what me and my guests get into. I thought it'd be kind of fun to just go really, truly free flow. We have no agenda today. And it's all about what I would call, well, he said and he said. And I'm bringing my friend Joel Barrett back on. He's been on a couple of times on the Coming Out Lounge. He's a great guy. He is from Joel Speaks Out. He also has a new thing going on in his life. Well, two new things called, one of them is Outwards, the LGBTQ storytelling experience, and Sexual Sunday School. So we're going to definitely talk about that, where he's going to kind of just take turns throwing topics out on the table, whatever we want to talk about, and then we'll both respond. And, you know, we might agree, we might disagree, or we could just get into a good old gay cat fight. I doubt it, but we might. You just never know what's going to happen. But I thought it'd be a fun way to go into Pride Month, doing something completely different. Not that we're ever scripted, but this one is truly, we have no fucking idea what we're going to talk about today. So there you have it. So anyway, hey, Joel, welcome once again to the lounge. This is appearance number three, man. I was just looking at the history here. So thanks for showing
up. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And happy Pride.
Happy Pride, everybody. Yeah, whoever's doing it. I know. So a little confession here. We're recording this, and I know the first Pride of the Southern California area just happened over the weekend. I didn't go. The first one happened here in Long Beach, and now it's almost kind of like that's kind of the kickoff in our area. It's like as soon as Long Beach happens, then everybody else starts happening. L.A. and San Diego, and it gets going. So, Joel, you are in the Midwest now. Tell us a little bit about where you and your hubby have finally landed for a while, because I know you're loving it. So talk to us.
Yes, so you and I last talked on podcast. We moved from South Bend, Indiana to Kansas City, Missouri. Wow. And have been here a year now, right? Smack in the middle of the nation. It truly is the middle of the map.
Yeah.
And ironically, I was born here in Kansas City, and we moved away when I was about 4 years old. So I don't really have a lot of memories of living here. I do have some relatives here. And so it was just kind of funny. I've come full circle. I'm back to where I was born. But we love it here in Kansas City. It's a very dynamic city with so much going on and so much to experience. I love the LGBTQ community here. And I have dove in headfirst to the whole community and just, you know, trying to be a part of everything and learn and grow. And it's been a great experience. And speaking of Pride, our Pride Fest is the first weekend in June. And it is so close to my house that I can hear the band playing.
Awesome.
All day long for the weekend.
That's so cool. So, well, you know, I kind of think that'd probably be a really cool place for us to both kind of give our viewpoints of why Pride is so important. And Joel and I both came out after marriages and kids and all that sort of stuff. And Joel came from being a Baptist minister and all that stuff. So I know for many people who come out, Pride is kind of a rite of passage. So why do you feel like going to Pride events or being involved in Pride is important, Joel?
Well, you know, I find it so encouraging just to be around a lot of people that are supportive, encouraging, whether it's allies. And honestly, even though I hear the criticisms from time to time about that corporation becoming too corporate and all, I still find it even encouraging to see a parade float or a booth or something from some corporation, because in my mind, as I walk by, I go, well, that was really good to know that they care enough about the LGBTQ community to be present at whatever Pride Fest or parade or whatever it is. So seeing politicians, I know politicians are there oftentimes to get votes, but at the same time, I know there's a certain amount of risk involved. So I've had encouragement from all of the aspects. And I remember when I was growing up, of course, I didn't go to Pride.
Right, right.
And the only thing I ever heard about the gay community was some reference to a San Francisco gay pride and all the debauchery and all the, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid, pastors from church kind of making references to, you know, all of that evil. And right. I was kind of fascinated by it. You know, in my mind, I was like trying to imagine this. And I was imagining these half-naked men. And, you know, they were trying to paint this ugly picture, but it was actually kind of alluring to me. Uh-huh. And so I didn't go to my first Pride ever until, let's see, I was probably in my mid-30s, probably 35.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little later, and went to Chicago Pride. And I literally was so blown away in that first Pride. And probably there's never been a Pride that I didn't get a tear in my eye. Mm-hmm. And just stir up some emotion in me. But I remember going to that first gay Pride, and I just was in awe. I loved the people yelling from the windows along the street, "Happy Pride!" And everybody, right, you know, right. And I just thought, this is amazing. I never felt such a sense of community. And I think that's one of the many things that happens with Pride, is it helps us realize we're not alone.
Yeah.
And there's many of us, and there are many people who love and support us too.
Yeah. 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 I think that's kind of where I came from too. But now I'm not a big Pride person anymore. It's like, yeah, I've been there, done that. And I'm not knocking anybody who wants to go. It's just, it's not my thing. And actually, my husband and I were talking about this last night as we were driving home. We'd spent the weekend in Palm Springs. And I said, you know, it's not that I don't enjoy the support and everything from Pride. I'm realizing I just don't like being in crowds. That's it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done with crowd stuff. And he likes going to concerts and stuff. And I'm like, it's got to be somebody really, really that I want to see, you know? And I'm like, yeah, if you want to go, go. If you want to go take one of the kids with you, that's cool. You want to go with a friend, kind of go. And it was last night that it finally hit me. That's why I don't like going to Pride. It has nothing to do with any of the other stuff. I mean, some people get annoyed with the, you know, attitudes and everything. I'm like, you know, that's all about you. It's not about the other person. If you get annoyed by that stuff. In fact, I know out here in LA, there's kind of a big hubbub this year because they're not doing the Pride parade. They're doing a Pride march, similar to what's going to happen in DC and other places. And man, some of the queens are just up in arms because there's not going to be the parade. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But let's also realize how important something like this really is right now. I don't know. Let's talk about about what's going on in our country right now. I mean, I think that's a lot of why people are like, let's really show our pride this year, because there's too many things that are on the table right now.
Well, in a sense, we're getting back to our activist roots.
Yes.
Which is where things started, you know, and we kind of, I mean, we went from activist to celebratory to sometimes even in your face. And then maybe even a little bit of entitlement after we got, you know, we made some progress. And I think now under the current administration and some of the changes that have been happening over the last few years, well, really just since this administration.
Yeah, yeah. But, let's call it like it is, right?
But I think it's been a wake-up call for all of us to go, you know, we cannot just rest and think, okay, we've arrived. You know, what's been given to us can be taken away in different ways. You know, it may not mean that marriage equality is reversed, but rights can be taken away. And that's what a lot of this religious freedom stuff is about. It's a back door to taking away the rights that they were upset that we got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think getting back to our activist roots is never a bad thing.
Right. I agree 100%. And, you know, I know it's not for everybody. And I hope people that are out there, regardless of where you're listening to this from, because it is a global kind of sort of thing about this activism thing. This doesn't mean you have to get out there and march in a parade, or that you have to, you know, go stand in a city hall or a government, you know, Congress or wherever and make your point. You can find your way to be an activist in your own way, whatever makes you comfortable. And what pisses me off anything is when people say, you're not doing this, you know, you're not being supportive enough of the community and you're not doing this. You know, each of us has to come to this in our own way. And that's where I get a bit like torque when people say, but you've got to go do this to be really supporting our community. Go do this. Some people just can't. And I wish people would give each other the room and the levity to show up in whatever way that it is that they can show up to be moving our, you know, our LGBTQ rights and progress forward.
You know, my husband says this often. I think it's such an amazing quote that is, as far as I know, he's the one that came up with it. He says sometimes the greatest form of activism is just being you wherever mm-hmm. you are at any time. And I think that, like, there's no handbook for activism.
No.
Activism comes in many ways, you know. You can make it with purchases with your dollars and what you choose to purchase or you choose to buy from. Or you can go march or you can, you know, be very vocal or you can be very quiet. But, you know, I mean, I have a rainbow flag hanging on our top porch.
Yep.
And I hung it out the weekend of Pulse, through the Pulse tragedy. I just felt like it was one small thing I could do. And it's been out there ever since. And it's actually faded and torn and I need to get a new one. Mm-hmm. But it's a small form of activism because we live right here by a very popular restaurant. And I watch people walk by and I see them look up at that flag. And sometimes I'll see gay guys or lesbians or, you know, people from the community. And I can see them point at like, oh, look, you know, and it makes them feel good. And I see people that feel uncomfortable with it. And but that's a form of activism. It doesn't really cost me anything.
Right.
But it's a form of activism. And that's it's those kinds of things. There's no handbook. There's no rules about, you know, what it means. And sometimes people get, like you say, get very caught up in, well, this is what I do and this works for me and it's very powerful. And so everybody needs to be doing what I do. And no, not necessarily.
Right. Exactly. So I'm curious because we live in, you know, two different cultural places. So what would you say the LGBTQ experience is in Kansas City right now? Is it, you know, progressive? Is it kind of middle of the road? Where are people finding themselves in the middle country, so to speak?
I'm very comfortable here. And I think the LGBTQ community has so much going for it here. There are a lot of organizations and nonprofits. And we have the Heartland Men's Chorus, which is one of the oldest gay men's choruses in the nation. We have, you know, the list goes on of all these institutions and things. Mm-hmm. I think the challenges that we have in the community are not unique to us. They're the same challenges that I've observed in most communities. And some of that is people just not realizing how much good is here. And they focus too much on what's not right instead of what is right and working on that, collaborating with one another. But here in the community, I mean, we have a very gay-friendly mayor. We have, I don't feel like it's an unsafe or a not progressive place to live. I'm sure there are, you know, if you want to go to Portland or Austin or San Francisco or something, you know, you might experience something a little different. But I'm very impressed and very pleased. And I just feel like that Kansas City as a city itself is poised to really, it's doing some great things and some changes. And I think the LGBTQ community is also changing with that and is poised to make an even bigger impact than ever.
Mm-hmm. So switching gears to California here, everybody would kind of like to suspect that California is like the, you know, holy grail of gay rights and everything. And I have to say, there's a lot of shit going down out here that people don't realize. It's not all, you know, rainbows and unicorns here either. I mean, I wasn't on this particular panel, but I had an opportunity to have been on the panel that went and spoke with PFLAG at a local school district. Well, I'm just going to say it, an Orange County school district bus drivers. And I can tell you, it did not go well. It was the first time that our panel felt very uncomfortable. Lots of slurs being lobbed at them from the bus drivers in Orange County that drive our, you know, our children. I say our children, but, you know, drive the Orange County school, school. To the point of actually our transgender panelist was actually told that she was just dressing up to, you know, go into restrooms to offend, you know, people and to hurt children and all this stuff. So I think it's really interesting to hear these things and to share these things because people make assumptions that there are, you know, states like California where it's just all great. And I have to say it's not. And this is why I think, again, pride is so important because if we step back from, you know, saying who we are and showing that we live normal lives and that we have a voice in our country or the world at large, even, it gives the open doorway for people to continue to go, but there's things wrong, especially all the crap that I'm starting to see come out of like Texas right now. It just makes me want to vomit all over the place. But it is what it is. So what do you feel like is the biggest challenge from your perspective, Joel? I know you do a lot of stuff. So let's kind of go through what Joel does again. He's got Joel Speaks Out. He does this really cool storytelling event in Kansas City area that I know is fairly new. And then, you know, you've got the sexual Sunday school stuff. But in everything you're touching and the community you're touching, what do you feel like is the biggest challenge right now?
I think it's pulling together and really getting involved in every, I would say like every color of the rainbow, really embracing the diversity of our rainbow. And there's a lot of education that needs to happen within our own community.
Yep.
You know, with who, you know, the gay men tend to be, all these LGBTQ and however many other letters you want to add to that, it's very easy for those to all be quite insular. And even though we have this great flag, you know, how many gay men do you know that really have a group of lesbian friends or transgender friends or vice versa, you know? Then the diversity of race and gender identity and all of these different aspects, that's our next challenge is, you know, rising above some of, frankly, we've been pretty cruel to one another. You know, I've heard horrible things said about, I'm just speaking as a white gay male, you know, cisgender male, that, you know, I've been around enough gay men to hear, you know, horrible sexist comments about lesbians. And I've heard, you know, references to transgender people. And I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that as an example of, we have some learning to do, and we've got to start supporting one another and start looking at what we have going for us or working together and supporting one another and getting educated and being willing to put aside some of our bias and some of our preconceived ideas, change our language.
Yep.
You know, just because you're gay doesn't mean you get a license to do whatever you want. It's like not a free pass.
Right.
And I think for a while we've kind of operated that way, especially in the gay white males. You know, we thought, oh, I'm gay now. I can say whatever I want. I can, you know, do whatever I want because somehow I got a license when I came out. It's like, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are some of our real challenges as a community. And I think that's across the board, across the nation. That's not unique to my community.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think the damage we do sometimes we do to ourselves and, you know, especially in our own community, because there is so much, I don't know, almost... I could use many words right now, but I think the one that probably fits it the most, there's almost like some level of entitlement that shows up at times, you know, and I happen to be in LA sitting in Gay Bucks. So Gay Bucks is Starbucks, but it's the one on Santa Monica in West Hollywood, right in the heart of it all. So we call it Gay Bucks. And this young, I'm going to assume, and so that could make an ass out of me, but I'm going to assume they were a couple because they were having this very interesting conversation about monogamy and how they could not imagine being in a relationship with someone who wanted to have an open relationship and how that just is so wrong. And that, you know, that's not what all the human, you know, all the activists and everything did from Stonewall on up was to create this so that, you know, we could have open relationships. And their last phrase that one of them said is, you know, we've worked too hard for this, for people to now take the marriage equality and throw it in the face of, you know, having open relationships. And of course, you know, I'm listening to this going, okay, you 21-year-old, you know, let Papa Bear have a conversation with you. And then I'm like, you know what, you're entitled to have your opinion, but you also need to be open. And I think that's a good example of, people are people. One thing that one of my favorite PFLAG panelists, he's a 72, I think he may actually almost be 73 now, 73-year-old cisgender white male heterosexual who speaks on our panels. And he's just such a cool guy. And he always says, here's the one thing I want you to know. Every one of you in this room has one right, and that right is to be your damn self. So leave everybody else the fuck alone and let everybody else be who they want to be. Now, I realize some people are going to go, but what if they're mean to us? And what if they don't? Okay, that's fine. They get that right. That doesn't mean you have to like back off. It's just we need to be more open to letting people be who they are, plain and simple.
And that is a good segue into why I do what I do, because I really believe in the power of opening up spaces to have conversations.
Yes.
And to listen to one another and to hear other people's experiences, because that conversation that you described with those two young men, you know, I hear that kind of thing often. And that goes back to this, what they don't realize is how many gay men or LGBTQ people are still trying desperately to find their validation from the heteronormative model. And so they feel like, oh, if I can, you know, if I can find a partner, if I can get married and we can settle down and we can have a child or we can, you know, and there it's like Leave It to Beaver all over again. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go, you know, that model has not worked very well.
Right. Exactly.
So why are we trying so desperately to duplicate it unless it's just because we feel like that's the only way we're ever going to be validated as to who we are? Mm-hmm. Well, that validation doesn't come from other people. It comes from ourselves. And you've got to start listening instead of judging, which is really what it is.
Yep.
Have you, you know, I would say to those young men, you know, how many couples do you know that have an open relationship or are not what you consider monogamous? You know, what have you considered listening to them as to what's going on in their world and why they are where they are, and how, what decisions mm-hmm. they've made and what influence those decisions before you just make a whole bunch of assumptions about yep. that it's just promiscuous,
right.
you know, which is basically what they're implying.
Right.
Exactly. And so part of what I do through Outwards is LGBTQ storytelling once a month. And I have about 5 or 6 members of the community. I invite them. I try very hard to have my cast include or to look like the true rainbow. So
yep.
diversity of gender, race, gender identity, so on and so forth. So I invite those, and I just, these are just normal people. These are not necessarily professional storytellers. And I just say, would you come in and tell a 7 to 10 minute story from your life? And then the only thing I tell them is I don't want it to be a coming out story, because we've all heard coming out stories that were so much more than our coming out stories.
Yeah.
And I just want it, here's the guidelines. If it was important to you, it will be important to us when you tell us. And so something that impacted you in your life. And so what happens is it's really just about sharing the ordinary,
mm-hmm.
but it's so beautiful because we start seeing other people's experiences and what went on in their world. And it breaks down walls and it opens up that opportunity for conversation. And so when you're sitting there listening to a trans person talk about some things that have happened in their life, and, you know, ultimately everybody is always going to include something of their story about, you know, you can always tell why they chose that story. And it definitely has something to do with queer part of them.
Yeah.
And yet, I am able to see into a world that I don't know anything about. I don't know what it's like to be transgender. So mm-hmm. when I sit there and listen to a transgender person tell me a story from their life, it has nothing to do necessarily. Somebody came in and just talked about how they chose their name and, you know, what brought that about. And one of my storytellers was in the military. She was a colonel and came out as trans. She was a he prior to this. And, you know, and so she told some of that story and told some of the things that brought her to the kind of to that breaking point. And so some beautiful stories from everybody in this. That's why I do that, though, because I think it's so important for us to hear and to listen to even just the ordinary of one another. And there's something very beautiful about storytelling. I got involved in it a few years ago by being invited by my friend David Fink to participate in his storytelling thing in Chicago called Outspoken. Mm. And I kind of came close to their name with Outwards. But anyway, participated in storytelling there, and it just really kind of changed my world. And I was like, I believe in the importance of storytelling.
I think it's important, too. Yeah, well, here, and I don't want to lose this, because I think it's important to realize everybody's got a story. And I know that sounds very trite and it's been said, but I think if you sit back and just take what I just said, listeners, and think about this. Everybody has a story. There's a story behind why somebody has a belief they do. There's a story behind why they act the way they do. There's a story behind. And what I think is missing, especially in this current administration, is we're not listening to each other's stories. That's the missing piece at this point. That's actually why I believe, my personal belief, why we are where we are with this current administration, even running our country, is suddenly a lot of people who had stories they wanted to have heard banded together and said, fine, we're going to be heard. And what they were sharing was their stories. And this is the piece that's been missing, is we're not listening to each other's stories. We're not trying to understand. We're not trying to be compassionate. And then suddenly we're all like, okay, now what's happened? Well, what's happened is we weren't listening to one another, plain and simple.
So true. It's just something beautiful that happens when we sit into a space and just listen to someone tell something from their heart. And going back to that rainbow, I always say, you know, our story, when I say our, I'm talking about us as a community. Our story is many stories.
Yeah.
And we aren't just the gay community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's many stories, and it's not just Stonewall or just Harvey Milk or, you know, whatever. It's many, many stories. And so the more we can show the normalcy mm-hmm. of who we are, and that, you know, let me tell you a brief story. I remember that I think I actually blogged about this, I'm not sure, but the very first transgender woman that I knowingly met was, I was scared to death. A friend of mine, a guy I was dating at the time, I'd just come out. And he's like, oh, I want to take you to meet my friend Tracy. And he was like, I took her to the hospital. You know, I drove her to get her surgeries done and all this stuff. And I just had these, I don't know, some kind of preconceived ideas about what it would be like to meet a transgender person. It was so foreign to me at that time. I could not relate. And so I was actually really nervous about going to meet this woman. And we met at this bar, like at happy hour, and just sat down and talked. And I remember just kind of like looking at her. And in my mind, I was, you know, kind of just studying everything about her. And I don't know, it's like I thought I was meeting, I don't know what I thought, but mm-hmm. somehow I thought there was something so different about her. And I needed to really analyze her. And then as she sat there and talked, and we talked together, but mostly he and she talked. And, you know, guess what they talked about? She started talking about her cat, her job, her house, what she's been doing, you know. And as we sat there and just had a very normal conversation like any three people would in any environment, the longer I sat there, the more I just went, oh, you know what? She's going to be different than me.
Mm-hmm.
She's just another human being who's trying to live her life, work her job, carve a living out of it. You know, and that was like a really transformative moment for me, because suddenly it wasn't a transgender woman. It was just another human being.
Exactly. And that's the thing that gets missed. That's
yeah.
the biggest piece.
Yeah.
We miss this piece. And it's, I'm sitting here just kind of listening to you. No, I actually tuned you out and said, okay, just let him blabber. But no. But I'm sitting here listening to you. You know, it's the same experience I had. I remember, you know, the first panel I was on with PFLAG and the first real true transgender person I was like sitting next to, well, not the first one. I had a transgender person, female, who worked in our organization when I was in the software industry. And I used to, in the days when I used to smoke her and I used to go have smoke breaks together. But it was the very first time on this panel that I heard the story and I really started to connect and go, you know what? I thought I had it tough. This is a whole nother realm of toughness and a whole nother mm-hmm. realm of being committed to who you are, and you know who you are deep down in your soul. And since then, I've had hundreds of opportunities being on these panels and speaking, you know, alongside my beautiful transgender brothers and sisters. I even have a hard time saying transgender anymore, because they're just like, it's like, so this is my friend Michelle, she's this, and this is my, you know, friend mm-hmm. Stephanie, and this is my friend Chad. And I don't even think of them in that realm, but this is how we sort and sift. But I went through a very similar thing. I had to kind of have my own come to Jesus moment around this and go, okay, this is about this piece of their life. And then there's the sexual orientation piece, which is a whole different thing, which I'm like, that really doesn't matter to me anyway. It's like, what, whoever you love, whatever, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I think this is the piece that if we could just wrap our heads around this as a community, yes, I'm saying that as a community for our LGBTQ listeners, and B, as a society, that let's just realize we're all humans. If that was the starting point, I think things could be completely different in our worlds.
Yes. And we all have the same set of needs as human beings, need to belong and connect and to, you know, so on and so forth. And that does not change, no mm-hmm. matter who the person is.
Yeah. So let's talk about sex, because that's one that I'm always, I love talking about, but you have this whole sexual Sunday school, which I know some people are probably going, oh my God, you put those, all three of those words together. What a blasphemous thing. But I want to hear about it. I want to know what you're doing. And knowing Joel the way I know him, it's beautiful stuff. So I can't
Well, you know, coming from my Baptist background, I grew up in Sunday school and taught many Sunday school classes as an adult, and So a few years ago on my Facebook page on Sunday, I would try to post some kind of story about sex. And I had found, at least at that time, that Sundays were kind of a dead day on Facebook. And so I, on my professional page, I didn't get a lot of interactions or things. So I thought, well, you know what? Every Sunday, I'm just going to post a story about sex and call it a sexual Sunday school lesson. And so I would find some story online about sex that, you know, it was helpful and interesting. And I would say, here's today's sexual Sunday school lesson. You know, here's this article kind of thing. And I noticed that every time I posted one of those stories, I would lose 1 to 3 followers.
Interesting.
every single time. And, you know, I could like go a whole week and my numbers wouldn't change. And then I would post the sexual Sunday school lesson and I would lose a handful of followers. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And these were not, it's not like posting a porn link or something. This was just, you know, a story that had to do with maybe improving your sex life, or it might have even been more medical based, or it might have been about, you know, safe sex practices, whatever. So I just kind of mentally filed that away. To me, that said, oh, we need more of this then. And I had this vision of taking it live at some point. I wasn't sure what that would look like. And here in Kansas City, I became friends with a local owner of a place called the Outburst Performance Gallery. Mm-hmm. And so it's a curated Black Box Theater kind of setting, but she likes to do things that are not being done elsewhere, very not out of the box kind of thinking. And so when I met her, we started talking, we really hit it off. And I said, look, I have this idea. I've been doing this online, but I really wanted to do this in a live setting. And I explained to her sexual Sunday school. And basically, it's kind of a parody on Sunday school. So I have a lot of the elements of a Sunday school class. So, you know, we usually have a little prayer that we pray, that I say it's not to anybody in particular, it's whoever you want. It's a joke. You know, if sex is good, sex is fine, I'll be the 6th, if you'll be the 9. And that's the little prayer that we pray. And then we play games. Everything is about sex. We have stories and readings, and we even have our own little outreach ministry. And that is that our mission is to help the lost souls on Craigslist find their missed connections. Mm-hmm. And so I collect very funny misconnections ads from Craigslist. And the most humorous ones I read aloud. Mm. And sometimes I get people from the audience to read. And so that's our kind of our mock ministry, is to say, okay, this person's looking for this other person. And so if you know them, let them know, you know. And it's just fun because some of those ads are so horribly written, right, that they're quite humorous. But the overarching theme is that it really is real talk about real sex. So I bring in a sexpert every month. That's a word I made up. And these are people who have an area of expertise in some form relating to sex. So I've had sex therapists on, certified sex therapist counselors. I've had on a leather and fetish guy who's actually competing at IML this year for bootleg. And, you know, various people, whatever your area of expertise is, they don't necessarily have to be a doctor or a psychologist, although I've had those on. Right. And we have a theme and we talk. I interview them. I give the audience a chance to either write questions or ask questions. And we have real talk about real sex. And it's so beautiful. And so my goal is to create a sex positive, safe, judgment-free zone to have conversations. My goal is not to change people's minds about anything, but rather just to open up the conversation.
Well, and so, I think that's the important piece, though, is let's open up the conversation.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
That's all.
Now, you know, it's interesting, as we were checking out of our resort yesterday, it was all gay men's resort. I guess we weren't checking out. I'd gone to the office to see if we get a late checkout. And there was a guy that was staying in the cabana next to us. And he was definitely, you know, older than me. And, I'm 50 some years old. So I would say he was late 60s, early 70s. And he obviously had stayed many times because the owner of the resort was talking to him, saying, so good to see you and, you know, have a safe trip back. And we had talked to him just a little bit out and about as we were by the pools and at the happy hours and stuff. But as he was talking to the owner, he said, yeah, my partner and I have been together for 40 years. And I'm sitting there looking at him going,
wow,
gosh, I would love to have conversations with you. The things that you've experienced, the life that you've lived. And then, you know, not just, you know, from an older person's perspective, but I'm just thinking, what tells this guy could tell if somebody had a conversation with him. And I actually said, you know, I'd love to chat. And I did. I asked if I could chat with him at some point in time. And he said, yeah, I'm not really a podcast kind of guy. But he goes, you know, if you ever want to write an article or something, you know, we exchange numbers and all that stuff. So I think this is the thing, is the more open we become to listening to each other, the more we can learn, the more we grow, the more we heal the planet. And I think that's kind of the gist of everything we've been talking about here. So, well, very cool, Joel. So, hey, we kind of did what we said we were going to do. We're just going to go all over the place and just have a chat and deliver some content that I think a lot of people can lean into. So as we are in the midst of Pride Month, I'm going to ask you to real quickly, as we wrap up, what's one of your most fond memories of going to a Pride festival for you?
Probably... You know, I love my first Pride just because I was so overwhelmed by it and the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd have to say taking my children to Pride. Each of my kids at a different time, they weren't all at the same time, but each of my kids as older teenagers went to Pride with me. And that to me just felt so good to have my kids there with me. And so for me, I guess those are some of the special memories that I have of just feeling like, yes, my kids are here celebrating Pride with me, and they care, they love it. And it said a lot about our relationship. And so that was very beautiful to me.
Yeah. I remember my very first Pride was not when I was out, and it happened to be on a whim. I was in Atlanta on business, and it happened to be Pride weekend, and several people in my organization were LGBTQ or LGB at that. And yet there was one trans. So we can say LGBTQ wasn't part of the equation at that point in time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we went to Atlanta Pride, and I just remember it was fabulous. I mean, these people go all out at Atlanta Pride. They used to anyway. I mean, they roll out their Persian rugs. There was one that had a tent that was Persian rugs and a baby grand piano in their tent. And it was just amazing. What was so beautiful to me was this camaraderie of LGBT people along with the heterosexual people, me being quasi one of those at that point in time. It was very close to me coming out. I was really figuring things out, but it was that camaraderie of, we're just people. We're truly just people. Mm-hmm. That was the real vibe that I picked up from that whole experience. So as we wrap up, I just want to wish everybody happy Pride. And I want to say, Joel, brother, you know, I love you truly like a brother. I'm so glad you're on the planet and doing what you do. And so happy for you and your husband being where you are and being happy and seeing the great stuff you're doing. So everybody go check Joel's stuff out. You'll be hearing more from him, I have a feeling. He's doing some stuff with Out Magazine that probably is about ready to take off. So thanks for taking time out of your day, Joel, to be here with us. And just keep going and doing what you're doing, brother.
Thank you, Rick. I'm right back at you for sure.
Awesome. And I guess if I were to say anything else about Pride, just go be prideful in your own way and let it be your way. It doesn't have to be what somebody else says. This is how you do Pride in Pride Month.
Exactly.
Yep, that's it. That means it's time to say goodbye to another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I'm so glad you joined me. I'm Rick Clemens, Coming Out Coach, that guy who helps you simplify your life to make the big, bold moves you've got coming your way. And I want to say thank you for just listening, giving us ratings and reviews, wherever you give us ratings and reviews, for however you're sharing us with the world, because you know what? You're helping make the world a better place. Now, I also know that some of you that are listening are like, I need to make a move. I need to do something big. One of the best ways to make an immediate move is to go to thecomingoutlounge.com and look for the coaching button. Yeah, there's some little buttons on the show pages and on the homepage that talk about the coaching sessions that dive right in to start doing some coaching with me around specific subjects around coming out. I'd love to work with you on those. So go check that out. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, always, always reach out to us at 949-371-8559, 949-371-8559. Or you can also drop me a line at rick@rickclemens.com. And that is Clemens, C-L-E-M-O-N-S, rick@rickclemens.com. And I'd love to hear from you and chat back and forth about whatever's going on in your life. But until then, never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, because it's simple. Be bold to live life uncloseted. Take care, everyone.